Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, O Jesus.
Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Let's go to the Lord and ask His grace and mercy upon our fellowship here. Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask Your anointing, Your wisdom to be upon us today, Lord. Your understanding. Lord, let Your words go into our heart and let them manifest in us the life of Christ. Lord, we know that Jesus can do all that's necessary in us and through us, that once again He chooses to speak and do His works to the world. Lord, what He did in that first body, He is once again going to do in His second body. He is going to manifest Himself to the world. And Lord, today we ask You to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise be to God. Well, we are going to go on, continue talking about something we probably could talk about forever, but the real good news. The real good news of what has already been accomplished and that we're just entering in to the works that were finished from the foundation of the world. Glory be to God. And I want to change direction just a little bit here. In Luke chapter 1, something we've read before, but I want to read it again. It says, Blessed be the Lord, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for He hath visited and wrought redemption for His people. He hath wrought redemption for His people. And this redemption is described in verse 71 as salvation from our enemies. Notice, for His people. And it says salvation from our enemies and from the hand that all that hate us. And verse 74, to grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies should serve Him without fear. Glory be to God. We've been delivered, folks. God wrought redemption through Jesus Christ, and we've been delivered. Now, it only remains for us to enter into those works through faith in what He said about us. And you know these statements right here are our power. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to the one that believes it. When God makes a statement that seems to be so contrary to what is naturally going on in the world, it's because He wants us to mix our faith with that to see it come to pass. And, of course, only believers can do that. We who have a gift from God to believe, we can do that. You know, Colossians 1 and 13 says that He has delivered us out of the power of darkness. We're no longer under the dominion of the devil and his forces. And you say, well, that's contrary to a lot of things that I see in Christianity and a lot of the situations that God's people are living under. That's true. But you see, our faith is what changes those things. And our calling the things that be not as though they were is what brings this to pass. So, since we've been delivered out of the power of darkness, and the Lord in Luke chapter 10 tells us basically that our enemies, He's given us authority over our enemies. And how does He do that? He has done that through the promises. And you know, we're told in verse 19, Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of what? The enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt you. So he's delivered us out of the power of our enemies. And who is it, folks, that has authority to do this? Is it only the very wise? No, not so. Look at Mark 16 and 17. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. That's the only condition here, folks. Them that believe. You don't have to go to a deliverance ministry. All you got to do is hear the voice of the Spirit. It's very simple. You know, I know that there are people out there that are more specialized and they have had more experience and they're able to teach you things. But I want to talk to you that are just young Christians. You have authority. I've been casting out demons since shortly after I became a Christian. And it was because I was reading the Word of God and I was putting it to work in the world around me. And I learned a lot. And the Lord knows that we make some stumbling steps as we're growing up, but He teaches us through the things that we go through if we're willing to be obedient. He said, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. That's the only condition there, is to be a believer, to cast out demons. Don't think you can't do it. This is for every Christian. This list here, by the way, is for every Christian. These signs will accompany them that believe. All you have to do is be a believer. And I want to talk about Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons. And he cast out spirits with a word, and he healed all that were sick. Well, now, if you'd listen to a lot of people today, you would think that Jesus already got rid of all the demons, and we don't have to worry about that. But they're not looking around them, are they? They're not really experiencing what's going on around them. But yes, there's no less demons today than there was in Jesus' day. And some people say a third of I have never really figured it out. A third of Jesus' ministry was spent casting out demons, and yet you see very few Christians doing that. Well, I'll tell you, that is a problem. That is a real problem. And, you know, the more you get into this thing, and God gives you discernment, and He gives you a discerning of spirits, for instance, you understand, you see that we're wrestling with these principalities and powers all around us, folks. And we're not called to wrestle with the flesh and the blood either. Notice what he says here. And he cast out the spirits with a word. Wouldn't you like to know what that word was? I said, there must be a magic word out there somewhere. I'm looking for that word and can't find it. You know, just a word. Wow. Just a word. You know, the Lord just exercised authority. You know, what did we just read in Luke chapter 10? Behold, I have given you authority. The Lord has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. You know, if he cast out demons with the word, there's no hint there that he used anything but authority, right? I mean, he didn't wrestle with these people like I've seen a lot of people do. And we have the seven sons of Sceva for a good example, too, you know. He didn't wrestle with these demon-possessed people, did he? Because we're taught that we're not to wrestle with flesh and blood, right? But with the principalities and powers. And I tell you, they can be a whole lot stronger than you and me. They certainly can. I'll tell you a little instance that happened to me that I think helped me to understand that, you know. I've never really wrestled with anybody or held anybody down or tried to force anything on them that the authority of the Lord wouldn't do, you know. In fact, I believe that's one sure sign that God is with you, is that when you exercise your authority, they obey. That's one sure sign. And if you got to get in the flesh and wrestle with anybody to get deliverance, God's not with you, there must be a reason, you know. So Jesus didn't wrestle with them, he just cast them out with a word. Well, I had a very good learning experience a few years ago. When I first came to this town, as a matter of fact, I got mixed up with a church that also had a mission, And I never, you know, I've been casting out demons since shortly after I became a Christian. But I saw demons, you know, more demons accumulated in one spot than I've ever seen, I think. You know, there's a reason a lot of people are out there on the road, folks. They need some help. They need some deliverance. And these missions are filled up with a lot of people that are dysfunctional for a reason. And they need deliverance. And that's the way it was in this particular mission. There was a desperate need for deliverance. And the pastor hadn't even baptized the people. I don't know where, he wasn't doing anything about deliverance, didn't know anything about deliverance. And I preached the first baptism sermon they ever had and had to baptize most of the church and taught the pastor how to do it, and he started doing it. And, it was just a ceremony to them. It wasn't an act of faith. So, but they weren't casting out demons either, and they were having lots of trouble. So I started casting out demons. And I'm not one of those guys, folks, believe it or not, that believes in casting out demons behind every bush, you know. I'm really not one of those people. But I have had a discerning of spirits since not too long after becoming a Christian. I begin to see demons. And especially the most common way I see them is I see them in people's eyes. And so I remember one experience that we had that sticks out to me. And that was, I remember one day I was talking to a deacon from this church. And the guy had been asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And of course, that's a good thing. And he really needed it because he was a little carnal. And he needed the power of the Spirit in his life. And he was telling me about some of the people in the mission, how that they needed deliverance. And what did I think about him going over there and casting out demons. This is what came to my heart and to my mind. I just said, well, brother, you know, it'd be a real good idea for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't even suggest you go over there until you've got his guidance. It's kind of like what happened to the disciples. And Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with this power, the promise of the Father, right? And then they went. Well, you know, this brother didn't pay a bit of attention to what I said. And, of course, I don't ever get offended when people don't take my advice. But he went over there the next day, or it was that day, I forget. And lo and behold, the Lord had some demons waiting on him over there. And he went into one room where a man had come in to the assembly the day before. And he came in there drunk, and he got saved, and he was sobered up, and he, you know, got blessed. Got really, really blessed. And I think it was 2 days later, okay? And, you know, some people need guidance even after they get saved. They do dumb things, you know, that can turn them over to the devil, you know, honestly. And this guy got sobered up, and he truly did get blessed. And but he was there 2 days later, and this deacon went over there and, you know, I guess looking for demons. Well, he found some. And they were mean, too. And he went into this man's room. He went down the hall and he turned into one of these rooms. And it was a very long room. And he went to the end of the room and he was talking to this guy named Jim. And demons manifested in Jim. I mean, he just, you talk about strength, supernatural strength. Even his features changed. I know that because I got to see it later. Even his features were changed. I'd never seen anything like this in my life, honestly. I've cast out a lot of demons, but I'd never seen anything like this. But this guy just stood up like a big old bear. He was actually taller than what he was in normal life. And his features were changed. He was just like a big old bear. And from what the deacon told me, he began to bear down on this poor deacon. And the deacon took off running through the building with this man right behind him on his back, you know. And the man slammed him through the plate glass door on the mission, one of those big, heavy plate glass that thick. You wouldn't think you could ever break it. But he slammed him through that thing. He ran right through it, right in front of this man. And and was out there in the street cut up and crying out, you know, for somebody to come get the demons off of him because the demons were on him. And I remember what he told me later. He said a very young Christian came by and had never done anything like that in his life, and he just said, well, come out in the name of Jesus. And the demons left him. And then they hauled him off to the hospital. And so they called the pastor over there, and they called the pastor's secretary, came with him, because they traveled around together for some strange reason. And so the pastor, not knowing much about what happened, went in there to talk to Jim, and the demons manifested again, and he, you know, jumped up about to swallow the pastor alive, and the pastor took off running through the building again. And him and the secretary took off running. So they got ran out of the building. And there's no doubt in my mind, if Jim could have caught him, he would have, if he did had caught him, he would have, you know, maybe tore him limb from limb, because he was mean. He wasn't the guy we knew at all, you know. And so the pastor, you know, he called me on the phone. He said, David, we got a problem over here at the mission. You know, I'd been preaching there some, and he came to respect me. Matter of fact, the Lord set it up so that he respected me, because the first time I walked in the building, a woman I never knew and he never knew, a prophetess, was in there, and she stood up and she wheeled around and she pointed her finger at me on the other end of this building. And she started prophesying about me. And, of course, the pastor was there. He was listening to all this, you know, and it was the Lord. I didn't know, but the Lord was kind of setting me up, is what he was doing. And so she started prophesying. I see the Word of God living in that man. And she went on and on and on, you know. So that made me an expert with these people, you know. And so literally this pastor started asking me questions, you know, when he'd preach. He'd turn, he'd look at me and he'd say, isn't that right, David? You know, he was, you know, asking for a confirmation. Well, he didn't know much about the Word, and I was doing my best to be honest, you know. So he would turn and he'd say to me, isn't that right, David? And I'd say, no, you know, just kind of quietly, no, you know. And he'd look at me, march on off, and he liked to march around a little bit, you know. He marched on off, he marched back a few minutes later, and he said, and isn't that right, David? I said, no. And the guy behind me tapped me on the shoulder. He says, did you say no? I says, that's right. And I said, if he doesn't want a truthful answer, he better quit asking me questions, you know. So anyway, the Lord kind of set me up that way. Well, he called me, you know, as soon as he got ran out of the building, he called me up and he said, David, we got a real problem over here. He said, Jim, that got saved the other night, when you were preaching, he's got demons. You think you can come do something about this? And I said, well, I don't know about me, but I believe the Lord can, you know. So I went over there and met him at the door, him and the secretary at the door, and we started marching down the long hall, you know. Of course, and we had to turn into another room and back up the other room. It was a very long room. It was a long shotgun-type building, you know. And so I turned into the room and made a few steps, and I saw Jim down at the other end of the room, and I was walking down. I didn't see anything abnormal. You know, I didn't know I was walking into an ambush, you know. And but I did notice about halfway down the room that the pastor, who was right on my heels when I got to the door, he had stopped at the doorway. And when I turned around and looked at the doorway, here he was peeking around the corner of the doorway, him and the secretary. So that's strange, you know, and I just turned around and kept on going, you know. Then I realized why he was peeking around the corner, because closer I got to Jim saw me, and he jumped up, and he started manifesting these demons, and boy, I'd never seen anything like that, but he was just, his features were even changed, you know. And the first thing came out of my mouth, I never did get fearful or anything, but out of my mouth came the words, sit! And you know, just as big as he was, he just immediately plopped down there just like a little puppy and just sat there docile, you know. And I could just imagine wrestling with this guy You know, I don't believe I could have whipped him in his normal mind, much less all these demons in him, I'm quite sure. You know, I would have been torn to shreds, you know. It's authority. The Lord's given us authority. We don't have to wrestle with flesh and blood. He's given us authority. The devil knows that. And when we act in his name, that's the key that we just read there in Mark 16. In his name. That means representing him. Not ourselves. We're representing him. And the babyest Christian out there, folks, has this authority in his name, representing him. And that's why we study the scriptures, you know, to make sure that we're not representing ourselves, doing it on our own. You know, we're trusting in him, and we're his represented authority here on earth. We're the body of Christ. The body of Christ cast these demons out in Matthew chapter 8. And now here we are. Christ is being manifest in us through his word, and he's called us to be his body through whom he can cast these demons out again. So when I told Jim just to sit, well, boy, I tell you, he sat. You know, I mean, just that quick. You know, I guess I had to say it quick because he was just a few feet from me and he was about to swallow me up, I guess. You know, but so it just came out of me very quick. Sit. And Jim just sat right down there. And I began to command demons to come out of him. And I get word of knowledge, and names were coming to me. And in some cases, I asked him some names, you know. I asked when a demon was speaking, I would ask his name, and I would get the name. And sometimes it would just come to me what the name was. And I started commanding these demons to come out. Well, the pastor saw what happened to Jim, and him and the secretary, they kind of slipped in there and alongside me when they saw that he was docile and, you know, under control. And so he started commanding demons to come out too in the name of Jesus, you know. Now, demons were talking through Jim, and they dearly loved this guy, but they didn't like me for nothing. I mean, they were real derogatory, but they really liked this guy. And I thought, something's wrong here. You know, not only him stopping at the door, but I knew something was wrong. Come to find out there really was something wrong. Those two were having a problem. And anyway, make a long story short, I continued to cast the demons out. They asked permission to enter into the dog at one point. And I looked around the room and I didn't see any dog. In fact, I didn't see until we left out of there that there was a dog behind the wall. A woman was visiting her husband who was, this is a mission, of course, and her husband was in the next room and she had a dog. I never saw the dog, never heard the dog. But they said, you know, ask permission to enter into the dog. And I said, no, this is what came to me. You know, I never said it before, but that's what came to me. I said, no, you can find the nearest cockroach and enter into him, you know. And that's it, you know. I mean, I probably was having a good time, but anyway. And we got down to 10 demons. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, they entered in through that TV set. They entered in through the TV set. And the thought was, and I asked Jim, who was much more in his right mind now, I said, Jim, what were you watching on this TV set? And by this time, he was a lot more in control, and he showed me some skin flicks. He was watching on some pornography he was watching on the TV set. And, you know, here's a guy that at first had just come to the Lord, totally sobered up. The Lord sobered him up. He was gloriously saved, but he didn't have any better sense than to go back and do something like this. Well, you know what? The Lord gave him a swift lesson. A swift lesson, folks. Now, when you're saved, you're now under the Lord. And he doesn't treat you like he treats the world. You know, since he loves you so much, he'll do something drastic sometimes to turn you around. And you say, turn him around? Yeah, this was a real strong lesson for Jim. And the Lord told me, you know, we had cast out, I believe, about 10 demons. And the Lord told me, there's two more, leave them there. So, I never heard the Lord say that before, but I knew it was the Lord. And I says, okay. And Jim was in his right mind and everything, and I left, and he was at the next assembly of God's people there, and was able to function, was doing pretty good. And at the end of the teaching, which I gave that night, Jim came forward. He wanted some more deliverance. And I know that the Lord was teaching me something there in this particular aspect. And the Lord's been teaching me for years. I've been diligently seeking Him, and He's still teaching me a lot, folks. And I don't think we ought to ever be unteachable, but He was teaching me something there, and He had set this up for me. And anyway, Jim came forward for prayer. And just as I was getting ready to pray for him, the pastor who was standing there beside me decided to do his thing, and he reached out his hand to slay Jim in the spirit, so to speak. And when he did that, the Holy Spirit rose up in me, and I did something that I would never do normally. I'm a pretty meek and quiet guy, you know, not very domineering over people and that kind of thing, and one that tries to keep his place with the Lord and so on. And so he had laid his hand on Jim's forehead, and Jim was falling, you know. And right at that time, the Holy Spirit just rose up in me, and I quickly stepped to the side and put my hand behind his back and stood him back up. And he stood right back up. He didn't fall. I mean, he just fell a little bit, and he stood right back up. And I just commenced to command the demons to come out of him. That's what he came down there for in the first place. And I realized that the devil wanted this guy out on the floor. And he didn't want us to exercise dominion over these demons. And, come to find out, this pastor had been mixed up in a rock band, a very famous rock band. And, he came to the Lord, but again, he didn't come all the way to the Lord. He still had a lot of demons in him, and that was proven to me over the period of time that I stayed there and ministered there in the assembly and so on and so forth. And actually, the Lord just kind of dried him up, and I ended up doing all the teaching for some time. Took over his radio ministry for a short time, and just dried the guy up. And I asked him one time, I says, aren't you going to preach anymore? He says, no, I just feel kind of dried up, you know. I says, well, I thought to myself, well, good. That's a good. Good. And I figured that would be a good thing for the Lord to do, you know. Well, anyway, Jim got his deliverance, and I realized that the devil was using that slain in the spirit thing to keep him from getting deliverance. And the Lord taught me some things there, which I'm probably not going to get into right now. But I'll tell you this. We need to recognize our authority in the Lord and not try to get in the flesh with these people like the seven sons of Sceva did, preaching a Jesus whom Paul preaches, you know. And, of course, they said they didn't. Those demons said they didn't know these men. And they jumped on them and bested them, and they fled out of there naked and wounded. So on and so forth. And, I remember what God told to his disciples, you know, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and violent men take it by force. And he told them that the greatest born of a woman was John the Baptist, yet the least in the kingdom is greater than he. You know, folks, in the New Testament, this born-again experience gives us the authority of Jesus Christ. It gives us the authority to act in His name. A baby Christian, I cast those demons out of that deacon. And I was casting out demons when I was very young. And I got a lot of faith because the Lord gave me a gift to love the Word and get in the Word and get filled up with the Word. And the Lord, you know, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. It was just a natural byproduct of staying in the Word, you know. So I got a lot of faith doing that. And I really believed in God as my Savior, and God is the one who wants to live through me and speak through me and do works through me and And I believe that we are the body of Christ for the purpose of Jesus Christ living in this body. And so, in casting out those demons, the Lord showed me that we have to exercise our dominion and not wrestle with these things and not wrestle with the flesh and blood and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's a word here, casts out spirits with a word. And I made a little joke, you know, that what could that word be? I'd like to find out what that word is if it's so powerful, you know. But if you go back in the, a little further back in the chapter, and when he was entered into Capernaum, verse 5, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth in the house sick of the palsy. And the word palsy here is the word that we get for paralytic. That's where our word paralytic comes from this Greek word here. And grievously tormented. Sounds like demons, doesn't it? Grievously tormented. And he saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having under myself soldiers. And I say to this one, go, and he goeth, and another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So why is the centurion talking about authority to rule over his servants? What does this have to do with this situation? He recognized that Jesus was a person of authority. He knew he had authority. To do what? Was it to rule the angels? Was it to rule the demons that were in this paralytic boy? What was it? I would say so. I would say he recognized him as an authority in the spiritual world, in the spiritual kingdom, both over the forces of darkness, because we know that that's true. Jesus overcame to rule over the principalities and powers and every name that's named in this world and that which is to come. And he also ruled over the angels who go forth and serve those who are heirs of salvation. And so he was seeing this authority that Jesus had to exercise. And he knew that nothing could stand before that. And I'm going to back up just a little bit and look at this word that he used. He said, just say the word. Well, I've got a Greek note there. And you know, it says the same thing as we just read over there in verse 16. It says, with a word. Say with a word. There's that word again. You just say with a word, and my servant will be healed. Wow. What is that word he's talking about? Well, we can read on down. We just saw that the centurion recognized Jesus' great authority and knew that he had authority in this situation. He had authority in the spiritual realm. Verse 10, and when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and Jacob, in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast forth into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Well, he still hadn't said what the word is, right? Just say what the word, right? Well, you know, the word for word there is the word logos, and it just means a communication. Something that is said, you know. Jesus was something that God said to us, right? In John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the word there, of course, is logos, because God spoke to us through Jesus, not just through the words that he spoke, but through his life. He is the living Word of God, okay? So what is the word? Well, verse 13, Jesus finally comes with the word that the centurion was looking for. And again, it wasn't an individual word. It was a communication. And it was a group of words, but it was a word from God. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Now, you know, notice Jesus didn't say, come out in the name of Jesus. I command you, paralytic spirit, to come out in Jesus' name. You know, he didn't give a name. He just exercised authority. Do you suppose that the spirits that were manifesting this? First of all, I want to say that, you know, everything is not a demon possession. Even spirits of infirmity, you know, don't have to be a possession. We just read that they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with the word. But the devil is involved in every sickness. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, that Jesus went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Let's see, Jesus healed all who was oppressed of the devil. Meaning what? Meaning all the people that Jesus healed were oppressed of the devil. You know, even if it's a possession or if it's just an oppression, you know, either one is an oppression. You understand, the devil can oppress you from within, he can oppress you from without, but it's still an oppression. And everyone that Jesus healed, it was because the devil, who by the way administers the curse on humanity, Deuteronomy 28, that's the devil's job. He administers the curse. He does a very good job of it. He does it according to the law, according to the word, believe it or not. He's restrained by the word. And so, this was a work of the devil, that when Jesus spoke, guess what he did? His faith, his agreement with the word, bound the devil. It broke the power of the devil over this paralytic. And what did he say? I bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. No. He didn't do anything like that. In fact, look what he said. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Cast out the demons with a word? That's the word right there. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. In other words, he said, okay, you said it, you got it. You believed it, it's yours. Very simple. You see, there's no magic in the words here, is there? You know, people really studied diligently to find out, what do you say to demons? How do you talk to demons? How do you cast them out? It's just real simple. We're just exercising the authority that the Lord gave us. You know, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. He delegated his authority. Just as the Father sent the first body of Christ, he sent the second body of Christ. And Jesus did too. And we have that authority. And Jesus said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Not the normal deliverance ministry at all, there is it. He was exercising authority. He knew he had authority. He didn't get red in the face. He didn't wrestle with anybody. He just knew he had authority. And I want to tell you something, folks. We just read Mark 16 and 17. These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. All you got to do is be a believer. Now, I agree that there are believers in some things, and they may not be believing in other things, but you got to believe that you have authority, like Luke chapter 10 says, over all the power of the enemy. Authority over the power of the enemy. Well, a lot of people brush that off. They say, well, Jesus was just talking to those apostles, the first disciples. He wasn't talking to us. Well, how is it that some people are going around casting out demons then? I'm sure that some out there probably wouldn't agree that people are doing that. But the testimonies are abundant, folks. Get your eyes open. People are being delivered of demons. And some of them are just by baby Christians. Because the only condition is you have to believe. And so Jesus believed he had authority. He exercised it. He spoke it. And by the way, he gave authority to this man's words. Now, I know that this wasn't a Jew according to the Old Covenant, but he was a man of faith. And if you remember in Romans chapter 11, that when the Jews didn't believe Jesus, he broke them off of the olive tree and he grafted in the Gentiles who believed. And, of course, Jesus was willing to go to this man's house to cast the demons out. This man exercised authority and faith. Hey, Lord, you don't have to come to my house. I'm not even worthy to come to my house. You just say the word. You just say with the word, and my servant will be healed. And he was. You know, when we meet that kind of faith in people, you know, notice that it wasn't the servant. It was the man who exercised authority for the servant, something that was common in the scriptures too. You know, he had responsibility for this servant, so therefore God permitted him to exercise his responsibility in the spiritual areas too. And he accepted this man as responsible. He accepted his faith. And of course, we have that authority. Jesus had authority to cast out demons, but he put responsibility upon the people who needed the deliverance, on the people whose, you know, people under their authority needed the deliverance. He put the responsibility upon them. He didn't say, according to my faith. He said, according to your faith. Now, Jesus had faith. These signs shall accompany them that believe. But who is it that is entitled? Romans 1 and 16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Now, that's talking about the person that needs the salvation. So we see here that Jesus had authority when they were entitled to it. And we know that the devil has rights. The kingdom of God gives the devil rights. You know, in Hebrews 10:26, it says, if we sin willfully, there remains no sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. If God said it, it means that if you walk in willful disobedience, there is no sacrifice for your deliverance. There is no redemption for that deliverance. You're paying a price. It's to bring you to repentance that you're going through this. You can't take away the devil's authority. If he has authority given him by God, we've got authority over him, but we've got authority over him when we run into somebody who is entitled to the benefits. This man was entitled to the benefits because he believed. Everybody is not entitled to the benefits. Matter of fact, we see even on the next page or two in Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and he charged them, saying, go not into any way of the Gentiles. Enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, why is that? Well, because they had a covenant. Jesus was going to the people of the covenant, and he sent his disciples to the people of the covenant. Jesus himself said, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay. Well, did you know in Romans chapter 11, when speaking of the faithful Jews who stayed in their olive tree and the believers who were grafted into that olive tree. And then he went on to say, and so all Israel shall be saved. Meaning, of course, those in the olive tree of all Israel are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the Old Testament saints who were born again when he preached the souls in prison are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The faithful Jews, when Jesus came and followed him, they were believers. They were entitled, you see. Jesus went forth to share the gospel with the covenant people to see who was entitled to these benefits. And the centurion happened to be a covenant person by faith, not because he was a Jew according to the old covenant, but because he was a Jew according to the coming new covenant. And Jesus accepted that. So he said, go not in any way the Gentiles, because these covenant people were entitled to the benefits, okay? And what were the benefits? Well, verse 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you receive, freely give. Did you catch it, folks? He was saying, don't go to the lost, go to the covenant people and cast out their demons. See, there's a very large proportion of Christianity that don't believe God's people can have demons. But that's who Jesus was casting them out of, folks. He was going to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He was casting out demons. He sent his disciples to the lost sheep of the house of Israel before God turned to the Gentiles. And they were casting out their demons. Wow. So, did you notice back in our text in Matthew chapter 8? Let me read the rest of it. Verse 17. That it might be fulfilled. So he cast out the demons and he healed their sick. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities. Who was Isaiah speaking to? The Jews. Israel. Himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. It's we who have the benefits of the kingdom, folks. Our. And notice, it's past tense. Took our infirmities, bare our diseases. It's past tense. It's already been done. It's already been accomplished. So therefore, we have authority, since it's already been done, to cast out demons. But notice who the sacrifice was effectually for. The sacrifice was effectually for God's people. You say, well, David, I thought it was for whosoever will. Well, there isn't anybody that wills, except for those people who have a gift of faith from God and are drawn of the Father. That's what the Bible says. You didn't choose me, I chose you. So therefore, the covenant people are the people that will. Effectually, Jesus died for whosoever will, but whosoever will is the people of God. And they have a right to the benefits of the covenant. And when we find, of course, someone that we didn't think was a Christian, but they exercise faith, guess what? They can come in and receive the entitlement to the covenant too. And another proof of this, folks, if you go to Mark chapter 7, verse 25. But straightway a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit, having heard of him, came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by race, and she besought him that he would cast forth the demon out of her daughter. And he said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. So here you have a Syrophoenician woman with a daughter that has a spirit of infirmity. And Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. In other words, the children of God, have a right to the benefit of deliverance. You know, he delivered us out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Meaning the people of the kingdom have this deliverance. The world doesn't have this deliverance. We would love to go cast demons out of everybody out there. And sometimes God speaks to us concerning one of his elect that haven't even come into the kingdom yet. And he says, cast out that demon. You know God can do that? Because he knows the elect before you do. So don't say that we can't cast demons out of somebody that we don't know as a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we know people are entitled to the benefit of the kingdom if they're a child of God. We know they're entitled to it. And so we can freely give it to a child of God. It's guaranteed to them. Why? Because Jesus cast out all of their demons. All of them. Okay. Now, we know that the devil has rights if they're walking in willful disobedience. If the demons do get cast out, they'll just come back. Because if this person won't repent, they're still under the penalty of their sin, they'll just come back. They did it with Jesus. fact, he said so in Matthew chapter 12. He said the demons are cast out, go through waterless places, and come back and find the house swept and garnished, and enter back in worse than before. And why? He says, and to who, by the way? He says in that text, he said, so shall it be to this generation. So Jesus cast demons out, he healed the sick, and they wouldn't turn from their sins and their rebellious ways. And guess what? It all came back on them. Worse. 7 times worse. It all came back on them. It happens today. Many people don't keep their healing, don't keep their deliverance, and it's because they won't repent. I mean, we need to appreciate what God would do for us. His grace and His mercy and His love, we need to appreciate it so much that we'll decide to live for Him. And many don't do that, and many go right back and end up worse than before. Oh, they're so happy to be free, because now they can go sin some more. No, it don't work that way. The devil has rights, and he knows it. He is a good lawyer. He knows this book, and he knows his rights. And the Word of God gives him that right. Even the Apostle Paul turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. You know, when people who are in rebellion are living under the curse of the devil because of their sins, you may can give them some temporary deliverance, but it won't be permanent until they repent. And because the devil has a right. In fact, the Lord gives the devil a right. The Lord is the one who spoke the curse, Deuteronomy 28. He sent a Savior. He sent the curse to bring men to repentance. It's His chastening upon the wicked. And the chastening brings people to repentance. But He sent the Savior to deliver us from the chastening. For those who believe, He bore the chastening. He bore the curse. He bore the demonic oppression. He bore it. And so Jesus came to show that, went about doing good, healing all who was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If you want to repent of your sins and serve God, deliverance will do you very well. And if you don't, it will just be a bigger curse on you, you see. So be sure you appreciate God's precious gift. The Syrophoenician woman, once again, expressed her faith. Yea, Lord, even the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The demon is gone out of thy daughter. Certainly didn't argue with the demons or get red in the face or do anything, did he? He spoke it. He knew it had to come to pass. The demons have to obey you. There's the word right there in that text. With a word. There's the word right there. For this saying, go thy way. The demon is gone out of thy daughter. Glory be to God. The word of faith. Thank you, Father. You know, we have that authority. You know, we're not of our own power doing anything. We have authority over the power of the devil when we find people who are entitled to the benefits of the kingdom. We have that authority. Jesus found them. He found this woman who expressed her faith, and so she was entitled, and so He gave it to her. And she, too, was a child of the kingdom, not through faith, the faith of Abraham. She became Abraham's seed. She became a child of the kingdom. And her circumcision was a circumcision of heart, not of flesh, as Romans 2 says. And so the Lord gave her what she wanted. We have that authority, too, when we preach the gospel to the people who believe it and they receive it, then they are entitled. We know we're standing on firm ground. We know we have authority. Jesus gave us the demonstration, and we walk in His steps, right? So, you know, you don't have to bring anybody to the preacher, you know, if you're a believer. And you don't even have to know the name of the demons. You don't have to get red in the face. You don't have to wrestle anybody or hold anybody down. All you got to do is exercise your authority over the devil. And Glory be to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time with the brethren, Lord. I ask that you bless them with authority and wisdom that you have spoken in your word, Lord. Thank you so much, Lord, for bringing to pass in them the life of Christ.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to www.americaslastdays.com. Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, pure as water, make me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. Oh, Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine. Oh, Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. Trust in